Breaking into programming to go live to Moscow, where Russia's President Vladimir Putin is speaking. Let's listen in.
От своего убеждения, что русские и украинцы – это один народ. Даже несмотря на то, что часть жителей Украины запугали, многие оболванены нацистской националистической пропагандой. А кто-то сознательно, конечно, пошел по пути бандеровцев, других приспешников нацистов, которые в годы Великой Отечественной войны воевали на стороне Гитлера. И то, что мы воюем именно с неонацистами, показывает сам ход боевых действий. Националистические и неонацистские формирования, а среди них есть...
Forgive us, we're having problems at the moment getting the English translation for you to hear what President Putin is saying. In the last few moments, he said that Russian soldiers are acting bravely as real heroes. He called them, he said that Russian soldiers are sacrificing their lives. Citing the success of the Russian army in Ukraine, he gave examples of what he says is heroism. He's handed out the Hero of Russia award to a foreign soldier. He's proud, he says, to be part of the multinational people of Russia. He says that Ukrainians and Russians are one people. Now, we've got the translation. Let's listen in.
Hello, can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Including, for example, on the railway stations in Kharkov, we have about 3,000 students, including those of Indian nationalities, others in Sumy. The neo-Nazis have opened fire on the Chinese students who were attempting to leave the Kharkov city. Other civilians who are trying to flee the combat front lines are being fired upon by the neo-Nazis. They are using them as human shields. The Russian armed forces have opened humanitarian corridors in all directions, allowing the foreign students and innocent citizens to leave. I repeat once again, the neo-Nazis are not allowing them to pass. They are, in addition, they are opening fire on them and using them as human shields. They are even calling on those people to call upon their diplomatic commissions to lend a helping hand to the Ukrainian army. In Donbas, some of the residents are living in multi-story buildings. They are forcing them to go down the lower stories while they install machine guns and cannons on the upper floors. These are the acts of the Nazis. Once again, I repeat, the Russian military men are doing all what they can to protect innocent civilians. Unfortunately, some are falling victims. We are lending all assistance possible to the families of those who have fallen defending our home, our people. The military men who have fallen in action, the relatives will have financial provisions amounting to 7 million rubles in addition to monthly payments. Additional payments will be provisioned to all the fallen members, amounting to 5 million rubles, and all the injured will have similar financial provisions. If and the sum of the if the commissioned military man is put to retirement, they will have a 2 million ruble reward. All these provisions have been made, and the necessary funds are made available. It is also necessary to commit other provisions amounting to 3 million rubles for each and every soldier taking part in the combat operations. As we speak, our military men are defending our homeland, doing all what they can to eradicate the neo-Nazi side in our people. We will always remember our fallen comrades who have fallen in the line of action. We will do all the necessary, including committing financial provisions to their families. Now we will stand to honor the fallen who have fallen in the military combat in Donbass.
Хочу сказать, что специальная военная операция идет в строгом соответствии с графиком, по плану.
The military plan is going as planned, according to the time set, and all the targets are being hit successfully. The defense minister will provide the technical details in his report.
All right, that was Russia's President Vladimir Putin speaking. We're not sure whether that was live or whether it had been recorded earlier. But he said that Russian soldiers are acting bravely as real heroes. Soldiers, he said, are sacrificing their lives. Russians and Ukrainians are one people. He said he's proud to be part of the multinational people of Russia. His soldiers are doing all they can to protect innocent civilians, he said. Ukrainian forces have taken thousands of foreign citizens hostage, including students. He says his servicemen have provided humanitarian corridors for civilians to flee. Those corridors are being blocked by Ukrainian nationalists. He says that Ukrainian forces are using civilians as human shields. He's speaking to his National Security Council now. Let's bring in Al Jazeera's Dorsa Jabari, who was listening to that as well. She's in Moscow. Dorsa, what did you make of that?
Well, I think it's clear he wants to deliver a strong message, a united front to the Russian public. This is a meeting that was broadcast after it took place earlier today. It was not live. And this was an emergency session of the Security Council, which is made up of high-ranking officials, 30 of them. And the president then made the statements, really trying to convince the Russian population that things are absolutely going according to plan, reiterating that narrative that they are fighting a good fight in Ukraine and they are doing it for the security of their own country. I think the main point was that he did announce that there would be financial compensation for the soldiers that have lost their lives and also those that have been wounded during this invasion. And he said that he was thanking the soldiers and their families for their bravery. I think this is very much a Vladimir Putin that he wants to portray a strong military campaign that they've launched in Ukraine and that one that is going according to plan, despite what the West is accusing it of being in complete tatters and various reports from the European countries saying that there are problems within the Russian military. This is the commander-in-chief himself saying that is not the case and we are really succeeding and things are going according to plan.
This happening as Negotiations are underway, those talks between Ukrainian officials and Russian officials just over the border from Ukraine in Belarus. What are the hopes for those talks, Torsa?
Well, there aren't very big hopes, really. I think the Russian president spoke to the French president, Emmanuel Macron, just a short while ago. The two men had a 90-minute phone conversation. The call was at the request of the Russian president. And coming out of that, there was very different reads and takes. From the Kremlin, we heard that the phone call went well and that the two men discussed their ongoing operation, as the Russians call it, in Ukraine. And Vladimir Putin explained to Emmanuel Macron what was happening and what was taking place, and also that their operation in Ukraine will continue until the end. And the end for him is a Ukraine that is demilitarized, that is neutral, that doesn't have any offensive weapons, that doesn't have any nuclear program that could pose a threat to Russia. The Elysee Palace issued a statement that was very different and very concerned about the tone that was coming from the Russian president. Emmanuel Macron said he fears that the worst is yet to come. And according to sources from the Elysee Palace, that the Russian president was really not going to stop until he took all of Ukraine. The French president also said that there was nothing in what Putin said that could reassure us. And he told Vladimir Putin that you are lying to yourself and that it will cost your country dearly and that your country will end up isolated, weakened, and under sanctions for a very long time. And this is a leader, the French president, who usually likes to point out the positives. And clearly, the conversation that he had with Vladimir Putin at this point was not a positive one. Still, those talks are ongoing as we speak. Three Ukrainian members from the Kiev government are sitting across six Russian representatives near the border between Belarus and Poland, discussing what each side would like to see happen. The Russians want the Ukrainian military to lay down their arms, and the Ukrainian officials want a ceasefire and a humanitarian corridor to be established as quickly as possible. Whether or not any of that will happen, it's very unlikely, but the important point now is that the two sides are still talking.
Al Jazeera's Torsa Jabari reporting live from Moscow. Many thanks indeed, Torsa. Let's bring in Al Jazeera's Andrew Simmons then. He's in Lviv in western Ukraine near the border with Poland. Andrew, let's pick apart for a moment what we heard President Putin saying there. Russia's military advance in Ukraine is going to plan. He said Russians and Ukrainians are one people, even if many Ukrainians have been brainwashed. Ukrainian forces have taken thousands of foreign citizens hostage, including students. He says his servicemen have provided humanitarian corridors for civilians to flee, corridors which are being blocked by Ukrainian nationalists. Ukrainian forces, he said, are using civilians as human shields. Is there any evidence for any of that?
There doesn't appear to be any evidence, and it's the first most people have heard of this. It does seem to have come from nowhere. It is a serious allegation, obviously, and I'm sure there'll be some response. And as Dorsa was pointing out, there is a pretty dark backdrop to the talks that are ongoing, as far as we're aware, between the Russian delegation and the Ukrainian delegation. Add to the pessimism coming from the French president, there is pessimism coming from the Ukrainian president, Zelensky, in that he feels that he needs the help of Europe, more help from Europe, more help from the rest of the world for the critical situation his country's in. It's fighting for its very survival. He outlined that in a news conference. He was appearing pretty much the most aggressive he's been since this conflict began. We're in our second week of the invasion now. And he really, really did not refer to the talks at all. The last round of the talks was on Monday. There appeared to be no real advance in any making, any decision making, but they were still talking. At that point, the president here, President Zelensky, did say that they were listening to Russia. But now it would appear, with so much negative ground having mounted up since then, with the invasion going into its second week and into a phase whereby the Russian advances, the Russian attacks on civilian areas, according to the Ukrainians, and what is seems to be on the ground, an investigation in all directions, including the International Criminal Court. There is very, very little in the way of common ground between the two sides. The biggest hope of all that Ukraine has is that there are humanitarian corridors formed, not for the sort of purpose that the President Putin was suggesting, but for the purpose of getting the injured civilians, the injured out of this country and aid into this country. That is what President Zelensky wants, and he's in a pretty desperate position, it would seem, even though his fighters are doing incredibly well in many areas. But as he said, thousands of them are dying.
And what's the latest, Andrew, on the humanitarian situation there in the various cities of Ukraine which are under attack?
Well, I'm looking here at just so many reports coming in. In Kherson, of course, this is the first city in Ukraine to fall to the Russians. There are no reports of any further fighting, but it's understood that the Ukrainian forces have withdrawn and there is an intent on counterattacks all over the country where losses have been made, but no further word from there. In Chernihiv, in the north, just near the border with Belarus, there has been a number of attacks. A diesel plant is on fire, and there's been airstrikes on reportedly two schools. We're hearing now from the emergency service there that 22 civilians have been killed in the attacks, and the rescue workers are searching for more bodies and trying to rescue people from the rubble. Elsewhere in Kharkiv, the situation is absolutely critical. One official in the presidential office has described it as a 21st century Stalingrad, that city. And then we have in the port of Mariupol, which is in the Sea of Azov, the Sea of Azov port, massive siege there. People just cannot break out. And they've run out of all supplies, food, water, and fuel. Critical situation, appeals for a host of areas of help, particularly medical help, because the hospitals are in a critical state, unable to treat people properly. This is a real emergency of a profound sort. In the capital, Kyiv, there have been further attacks, but there it's just an eerie wait for what people feel is inevitable, and that's the push from so much in the way of armoured columns to come into the city. There were four explosions 18 hours ago, but we don't know about the number of injuries, but there certainly were very loud explosions overnight. And overall, the situation in Ukraine right now is incredibly gloomy.
Al Jazeera's Andrew Simmons reporting from Lviv in western Ukraine. Andrew, many thanks indeed.